All right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film related. And just before we dive into the episode, we're going to hit you with some general Film Society updates. So we don't only host this radio show. We have a lot of various film screenings going on throughout the week. And this is a very busy week for Film Sock. So starting off, we've got Stop Making Sense playing tonight, 7 in the Norm. And then tomorrow, we have a screening of The Nice Guys at 6, followed by 21 Jump Street at 8, in collaboration with Friends of MSF UBC. And on Friday, we have our Beer Garden at 7. So we hope to see you at any or all of those events. So just before we get into everything this episode, we're going to be talking about animated movies, which is going to be very fun. But first, we've got some ads for you. So we're going to play those, and then we will be right back.
Love electronic music, such as run for them life when I step into the jungle. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue. Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show, but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
For your oral listening pleasure, please join me, Marguerite, Sundays at 9 a.m. for Classical Chaos, classical music from around the world, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We'll see you then.
All right. So, as mentioned before, we are talking about animated movies today, but we have a little plug beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge news.
Film Society tote bags.
Film Society tote bags. Carry all your stuff, but, you know, not your snacks. Buy that from us. Mm-hmm. We sell popcorn and candy and drinks. So, you know, don't use them to smuggle popcorn in.
No, don't do that.
Use them to hold love.
Yes, they're really cute, and you can get them. I think they're available at screenings from now on for you to purchase. So,
which is very exciting. So, if you want to, you know, support Film Society, support our show, consider purchasing one the next screening you attend.
Yeah,
because it'll help out a good cause, which is our club.
And if we see you wearing it on campus, we'll come up and sign it for you.
Yeah, Exactly. Who doesn't want that? We're hot commodities, all right? Mm-hmm. So
we better not see any of them on eBay after this.
Exactly, yeah. You're mad disappointed. But yeah, today's episode, animated movies.
Animated movies.
Just doing something fun, having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bit of a end of January. I feel like it's like a rough time.
Yes.
So maybe we need to return to some like something a little bit more comforting.
Yeah, I agree. So. It's the January slump.
Exactly.
We need some whimsy.
I'm going to say that at the end of every month and the start of every yeah. month. I'm like, guys, just give me a sec. I'm just in the February 3rd week slump.
Yep.
Just the March 2nd week slump.
It's applicable.
Yeah. You know, we'll be so back at some point. But the first movie that we're talking about today is The Nightmare Before Christmas, which
yes.
very exciting. I don't know how you feel about this movie.
I feel like you're probably a bigger fan of it than I am, but I like say. It.
Yeah.
I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah.
I for me, the standout is like definitely the music.
Yeah.
So good and catchy. Like,
oh my God. Yeah. Like Danny Elfman was cooking
yes,
on
he
this
was.
Score.
Yes, he was.
Which, yeah, for those of you who don't know, this one was scored by Danny Elfman, who like that's crazy.
He's just that guy. Like
yeah,
yeah. The other day, my roommate, she like, I don't know what she was looking at, but
yeah,
something to do with Danny Elfman, and she was like, "Who is this guy? He looks so weird." And I was like, "That's Danny Elfman. You yeah. don't know Danny Elfman?
Like that's like the freak. You know, he's been freaking it. And he's freaking it on the score. Like
he sure is."
Well, and a little backstory, I guess, for people who don't know the movie that we're talking about. So this is a 1993 film directed by Henry Selick and not Tim Burton, as
no.
many people would have you believe,
mm-hmm.
which we'll get into that because it's yeah. it's a, like a bit of a story.
I was reading about
yeah,
that, but
it's kind of crazy.
Very interesting conception,
yeah.
this film and then production. But we'll get to
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we're gonna break it down. You know, we'll hear all about it. But yeah, it follows the story of Jack Skellington, the king of Halloween Town, in his scheme to act as Santa Claus for a year.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, which is this is like I feel like this is one of the hottest debates around this movie.
I was gonna ask,
is it a Halloween movie or is it a Christmas movie?
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you know, let's kick this ball off.
I think, why can't it be both?
Ooh.
I'm open, but yeah. also, I have only ever watched it on Halloween.
That's real.
I've yeah. never been like, oh, it's Christmas, let me watch this movie.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's all I'll say.
I feel like I've done not the opposite, but like, I feel like, especially as I got older and I was like, okay, I can handle like horror movies, then I watched those for Halloween.
Oh.
But like the thing with Christmas movies for me is I didn't watch a lot of like your typical like Elf or like Home Alone. I didn't really watch those growing up, so I don't get the nostalgia hit.
Yeah.
It's like I really don't like Elf actually, which is
yeah, I don't
yeah.
Don't worry, that doesn't offend
thank
me.
Thank God. Thank God. I was afraid I was gonna be like kicked out of the studio
yeah.
for that one.
I'm taking your money
yeah,
away.
Exactly. Show revoked.
Yeah.
This is just Hannah's
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm. But and we're only talking about
exactly.
Elf.
Exactly. All the time.
Yeah.
Elf 24/7. So I think for me, like that's kinda like Nightmare Before Christmas was like where I'd watch it at Christmas with my family.
Yeah.
Like this is definitely more of a like nostalgic film for me.
I like that.
This was the movie that I feel like shaped my style. That makes sense. This is the reason I started shopping at Hot Topic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of you who've never met me, that tells you everything you need to know about who I am, about how I dress. Just know that this is a movie that pushed me towards Hot Topic, and I've never left those like emo gates ever since.
I can attest on
yeah.
Emma's behalf.
Wow.
I get it. I see it.
Oh, yeah. I think another thing that, like, really works for me about this film, like, I think what makes it stand out so much in my mind is just how they use color in this
yeah.
is so, so interesting.
Yeah. So it's a stop motion
yes.
film. And for me, like, I was going to say, like, color and, like, texture because
yes.
it's stop motion.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And also just, like, the motion itself, the way they move.
Yeah.
I love the way they move. Like,
yeah.
And, like, when, especially, like, Jack Skellington with his, mm-hmm. like, he's so lanky.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really like fun to mm-hmm. watch the actual movements yeah. of the like puppets, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I know they had to like build like a custom like camera rig for like shooting this film, because they normally, like with claymation, it's always just kind of like static, like tabletop. Mm-hmm. And Harry Selick was like, I don't want any of that. I want these guys to have like movements. They built like an actual rig that could like move with them and stuff. And I feel like that just gives it such a sense of like you're not really aware you're watching an animated movie. Yes. Like it really lets you immerse yourself in this world. Mm-hmm. All those elements kind of come together in this really unique way. Like, I think one of like the most standout moments for me is when like Jack Skellington goes to like Christmas Town for the first yeah. time, and just how different it is. And yeah. it's like, oh, just that for me is like really where like the color like pops, I think.
Mm-hmm. So
it's like
the oh Christmas God. Lights, like the yeah. glowing.
Oh, yeah. the lights are so pretty yeah. in this. Like, I love it.
That also has one, like, probably my I think I have two favorite, like, songs from this yeah. movie. And What's This is oh. is one of them. It's just so, like, catchy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I... What's this? What's that? Like, no, it's so like, fun to sing along to. There's, like, basically only two words for, like, exactly. a good chunk of the song. No, it's so fun. And also the way this... Not to jump around, but oh, yeah. back to the, like, texture, like, the snow. Mm. It's just so fun to look yeah. at this movie. Like,
I feel like it really works because it's clay. Like, yeah. it can really, like, it leans into that sense of, like, playfulness mm-hmm. in this way. And, like, you get this really unique world yeah. out of it. Like, Henry Selick has been doing, like, claymation, yeah. like, cool stuff. Like, because he did Coraline. Like, Wendell in the Wild. I don't know if you saw
I heard
one.
About that. And I remember looking at it and was like, oh, like, the movement yeah. really reminds me of Nightmare Before Christmas. So that makes sense that it's, yeah. that's him.
Like, I think there's a really big sort of play on contrast that I think is like so interesting. Like obviously they're the like this idea of like, oh, if you, you know, can just like get a silhouette of the character and like you can recognize it, then it's yeah. like a well-made character design. I feel yeah. like this movie really embodies it. Like you get the contrast between like even like, oh, Jack Skellington, like Oogie Boogie, like the big like triangle and like line.
Oogie Boogie, that's my other Oogie Boogie song. I yeah. love that song.
So good. So good.
And the whole scene.
Oh my god.
Them
gosh.
On like the
yeah,
what's
and, like,
it called?
The roulette table.
Yes, it's so good.
So cool.
But yeah, no, I like what you're saying about silhouettes, because mm-hmm. I feel like this movie is very like based on shapes.
Yes.
And so you have like, you know, when you we were talking about Jack Skellington, I see like, you know, his round skull head,
yeah.
his bow tie, that's like the bat wings.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then obviously very skinny yeah. guy. And then Oogie Boogie, like, being that, yeah, like, the triangular head, yeah. the lumpy body.
Yeah,
like
candy corn shape.
Yes,
sort of happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, it's insane, like, how well-known these characters are now.
Yes, and also just one of my favorite, I think, examples of that kind of, like, mm. characters as, like, shapes is, like, Locke, Shock, and Barrel.
Yes.
The three little,
oh
like,
God.
Minions.
I love those little freaks.
Oh, my gosh. They're so fun. I love the laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I won't
like,
do it.
Their
but.
Walking bathtub is just
oh my
so
gosh.
Like there's so many little like endearing, charming little bits in this. Yeah. I feel like that just like give you such a sense of the world.
Well, and I feel like that's really interesting, especially in stop motion mm-hmm. animation, because it's like that everything is on purpose because yeah. everything had to be made by hand.
Yeah.
So it's like someone thought of that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder at like what point in the like if that was one of those things that's like, oh, that would be kind of funny, let's just do that.
Yeah.
Or if it was like, wait, I just thought of like something that needs to be yeah. in this like that's like central to like if it was part of like a character design sheet yeah. or something. It's just yeah, so I feel like it's so interesting because yeah. like
no, totally, because I guess that's kind of where like the backstory for this comes in, like Tim mm-hmm. Burton, because like, you know, everyone like thinks of this as like a Tim Burton film, and it is to some yeah. extent. Like he did the original drawings and the poem that like the film is based off of, but he handed it over to like Henry Selick to direct yeah. which is like I think you definitely still see some like Tim Burton-esque like trappings in
oh
there.
Yeah,
like especially like all the like, you know, the shapes, like that very intense like contrast
mm-hmm.
like that's very like Edward Scissorhands to me. Like you see that sort of like, oh, you know, there's the ideal town and there's whatever's happening over here.
Yeah, yeah, no, I see that for sure. But yeah, it's really interesting the like way that this film kind of came to be, and like you said, it started out as a poem
yeah.
that Tim Burton wrote while he was working, him and Salik were both working as animators for Disney at the time, and this was like in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And then in 1984, Tim Burton was fired from Disney Animation basically for being too weird.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of had brought this idea to the executives, and they were sort of like interested, and he wanted to do like a TV special, something shorter. And then they were like, no, this is too weird. We're just gonna, we're sorry, like, you're gone.
Yeah.
But then after he found a lot of success with films like Beetlejuice, Disney, who still own the rights to the idea for Nightmare Before Christmas, they were suddenly all for it and wanted to make the film to show that they could, like, think outside of the box, which, very, very ironic. But yeah, and then it was Selleck that directed it.
Which is, like, it's also so interesting because I know, like, Disney released under, like, a subsidiary when it first came out. And it's, like, they were so cautious with this thing. But then, like, now it's huge. Like, you think, like, Disneyland, like, how, like, they totally convert it for, like,
for
Christmas
Halloween
and Halloween.
Yeah, sorry. There you go. Christmas and Halloween.
I think they switch it over in like mid-October and just keep it.
Yep, they decided for us.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, it's funny how they did that because it was, and then once it was like, oh wait, this is like, people are liking this. Yeah. And then there's been like re-releases of the soundtrack. Obviously, they do like that concert. I don't know if it's every year, every couple years, but they just had it where like, I don't know who was the last Sally, but I know Billie Eilish like sang the part of like for Sally's song.
And, oh yeah.
So yeah, it's become quite the like cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, which is like, I'm honestly like this. I was by no means, you know, like the first wave of people seeing this. It was like I was entirely like
not alive yet when this came out. So
I feel like it's like it just holds such a like special place in my heart because this was always like. Because I'm born, like, a week before Halloween. So, like, when I was younger and having, like, birthday parties, I'd be like, well, I need to watch, like, a Halloween movie. But I'm not going to be, like, you know, thrown on, like, Nightmare at Elm Street when I'm, like, 12.
No.
So it was, like, you know.
I hope not.
Exactly. Like, this was the perfect movie for that moment. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's still Halloween, spooky and fun, but, like, it's not, like, a horror movie, you know? So it really, like, I like that kind of fills that niche of this weird little animated thing.
Yeah.
That, like, it feels like it shouldn't be Disney, but it is.
Right? Yeah. I like it. It's very, like, I'm thinking of Sally's dress and, like, the patchwork. And I feel like that's very, like, representative of the film as a whole. It's kind of like a patchwork of all these different... Is it Christmas? Halloween? You know, it's stop motion, but it has the camera movement. So it feels not quite like stop motion animation. The incredible soundtrack with so many performers.
Oh my gosh.
And just it's a great movie. I feel like I need to rewatch it.
Oh yeah. I love rewatching this movie. Like once a year I get a hankering for it and I'm like, God, I need to rewatch Nightmare Before Christmas. And honestly, I think with what we've got picked from the soundtrack, this is gonna make you guys want to rewatch it too. And if it doesn't, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You got no whimsy. You
then
got
go
no
listen
joy.
To go listen to What's This.
Exactly.
If this song doesn't do it for you, go listen to What's This.
One of them's got you gotta just start bumping the whole soundtrack. Like that's what I'm thinking. But without further ado, this is Halloween off of the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. So we will play this and then we will be right back.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed, teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs, fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In the this town we call home. Everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Found that corner man hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting now to pounce and how you'll scream.
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
And slimy green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice. Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream. Everybody scream.
In our town of Halloween.
I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Here in a flash, vomit and trace.
I am the who in the cold who's there.
I am the wind blowing through your hair.
I am the shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween.
Tiddle-umlings everywhere. Life's no fun without a good scare.
That's our job,
but we're not mean.
In our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now?
Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a bat. You make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween, everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
Wildman Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king.
Now this is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
All right, that was This is Halloween off the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. And again, if you are not running to rewatch the movie the moment this episode ends, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
We don't have anything to say in that case.
Exactly. But if Nightmare Before Christmas isn't your cup of tea, maybe our next film will be. It is Howl's Moving Castle by the one, the only Hayao Miyazaki. You know it, probably. You love it. If you don't know it or love it, you gotta go watch it. Because this is just, God, I don't even know where to start with this film. Like, I feel like this is a movie that, for me, kind of, I think it served as a bit of an entry point for, like, anime in general.
Yeah.
Like, I
see that.
Yeah. You know, like, it feels like a very approachable way. Most, like, Studio Ghibli movies are. I feel, which, yeah, this is a Studio Ghibli movie. For those of you who don't know, you know, they're known for these beautiful animated works. Yeah. Most recently, The Boy and the Heron.
Which I have not seen, but I think you've seen it.
So good. Yeah. No, I am so glad that one, like, actually, like, got the praise it deserved at the Oscars, because they have been snubbed for so, so, so long.
Yeah.
Especially at, like, award ceremonies.
This I'm kind of ashamed to admit, but Howl's Moving Castle is the only Ghibli movie I've seen.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Which I've seen part of Spirited Away. I think I watched part of it when I was younger, because I know that my one of my aunts and uncles, they had the DVD and they, like, gave it to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I know I had the DVD, but I don't think I ever watched the whole movie.
Wow.
Which I know Spirited Away, a lot of people consider probably to be, like, the best Ghibli movie, one of, like, the best animated movies in general. So I'm getting on that. I'll watch it.
On that Ghibli grind, man.
Well, like, so many of their movies have been on my watch list. I just, like, never get around to watching them. But I feel like I don't often go to animated films, which I should, like, make a point of watching them, because like we just said, like, they're amazing. Like, all these.
Yeah.
The movies that we're talking about today are ones that we both really love, and so it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's my first and only Ghibli movie that I've seen, and it is, like, really beautiful.
Yeah. Did you see it when you were, like, older?
Like, a few years ago. I think it was maybe, like, during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
I was probably in, like, grade 9 or 10 when I saw it.
Oh, fair. So, older. a bit older.
I thought you were going to ask me if I watched the dubbed version.
I was. That was going to be my follow-up question.
The shame continues.
For Christian Bale?
Excuse me. only a little bit. yes, I did watch the dub. Now I know better.
Yeah.
Okay, I know better. But I watched the dub version, which came out the Japanese original version came out in 2004.
Yeah.
And then the dub came out in 2005, and it's Christian Bale, Billy Crystal.
Yeah, it's Calcifer, crazy.
The fire spirit who is such a good part of this movie. Oh my god, watch it amazing. Just for him. I think in terms of dubbing something to English, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good cast. And I mean, I think Christian Bale has a really good voice for Howl.
Yeah.
So it works.
They did really well.
I don't know. I kind of was then looking into other Ghibli movies. And so Howl's Moving Castle is based on a fantasy novel of the same name by British author Diana Wynne Jones. And a lot of their movies are adaptations of either mangas, traditional Japanese stories from history, and also stories from outside of Japan, such as this one. So I just thought that was really interesting because it is.
Really interesting mix of IP, where they're getting all this stuff from. Oh, IP, I'm getting the cinema 240.
Yeah, bringing some class vocabulary in here. I thought that was kind of a fun tidbit, and it makes sense why there's such a cultural touchstone.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting, just to see how much time and care is poured into each one of these films. You can see it in every single frame.
Yeah.
I feel like that's part of what makes this work for me. Even though it's, I know, very, there's scenes from the book that don't make it into the movie. There's definitely a lot missing.
Yeah.
I feel like they still managed to construct this story with such, elegance and beauty. That's, I don't feel mad that stuff isn't, present.
Yeah. You know? I have pretty much no knowledge of any, differences in story from the book to the movie.
Yeah.
So I can't really say, but it is, gorgeous. I think, some of the scenes or just kind of stills from the movie that stick out to me are any scene where they're in the field with the flowers, when Howl is in his monster form with the feathers.
Yeah.
And when he's kind of has Sophie in his wings.
Yeah.
And then when he's catching the star.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
There's
such a world, I feel like this is true of most Ghibli movies, but there's such a broad sense of a world created. You really feel you're just looking into a part of a whole. It doesn't feel the world just exists to tell this
just
story.
Just for this movie.
Yeah.
It feels very developed.
Yeah.
And so vast,
mm-hmm.
but also so but not just general.
Yeah.
Kind of they're it's so detailed.
Yeah. It doesn't feel vast in an intimidating way. High fantasy or sci-fi or even something Dune is almost okay, there's so much content coming at me. This is obviously a very well thought out world, but
you don't feel you're trying to understand it.
Yeah.
The story just it all fits together.
Yeah.
It's in service of each other.
Yeah.
And it's just a very heartwarming story, about loyalty and peace. Not to use such a peace and also aging.
Yeah.
And
aging with grace and that sort of thing. And I know a lot of people talk about how this film really works as an anti-war film.
Mm-hmm.
Then in interviews, Miyazaki's kind of said how he doesn't try go in with the intention of infusing a message. He just lets the film speak for itself.
Yeah.
So I think that really shows how talented he is in being able to create this film that touches on so many relevant cultural moments, especially consider 2004 and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a time of turmoil where it is a lot of conflict happening in the world.
Yeah.
Even nowadays, you can just, I don't know, the film just still feels so, the themes are so applicable.
Yes.
Still.
Yeah.
And it's really impressive that he's been able to create this sort of timeless work with a story that's so kind of just insane. Like, if you, like, yeah, look at it, it's like, yeah, you know, she gets cursed by a witch and now she's old. And also there's a castle that walks and a man that turns into a bird. And you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, okay. That sounds like a masterpiece. Yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah, it's, like, fantastical, but mm-hmm. not, again, like we said, everything, like, serves something yeah. else in the film. Yeah. So nothing is done just because.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything's, like, it's a very intentionally made film. And even, like, the animation style, like, mm-hmm. I think serves that intention. Like, how detailed everything is. Like, Howl's room.
Yeah.
Like, all the little trinkets on the shelves and stuff. It's, like,
it's so homey.
Draw that. Yeah.
It's so homey,
oh,
too.
Oh, homey's like, the perfect word yeah. for it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a beautiful movie.
I would love to live in, like, the moving castle.
Yeah.
Like, actually sounds like the dream.
We can... some new housing options just exactly. drop for UBC students. Howl's Moving Castle for lease. And it has a really beautiful score.
Oh my God, does it ever.
With a very iconic
yes.
theme.
Like, we couldn't talk about Howl's Moving Castle and not pick this as our song.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, merry-go-round of life. You know it. Even if you don't think you know it, you've heard it. So... let's jog your memory a little bit. This is Merry-Go-Round of Life off of the Howl's Moving Castle soundtrack. All right, that was Merry-Go-Round of Life off the Howl's Moving Castle soundtrack, which I'm sure you've all heard before.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, now you have.
Yeah, and hope you all enjoyed yeah. that beautiful song.
Yeah, and that really just encapsulates the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just such a beautiful, moving score.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is Howl's Moving Castle, Studio Ghibli, 2004. If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Now on to our third and most modern film.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse,
which, 2018.
Yeah, crazy time for superhero movies. Like, I feel yeah. like that was definitely like a peak. You know, you've got like,
oh, yeah.
what, Infinity War, same year, Avengers Endgame,
oh,
the year
right.
after. Like, this was a good time to be a Marvel fan, which mm-hmm. are you like Marvel?
I was, especially like,
yeah.
I started getting into Marvel after Infinity War because really? I remember vividly. I was in my, it was grade 8.
Yeah.
And I was in band class, yeah. like the or practice or whatever. And there was one guy in band with me, and he like yelled out like why would you do this? You're so evil. But he yelled out like a spoiler for Infinity War, like like a big thing, like in the middle of band practice out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And like everyone like got so mad at him.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, before that I had only seen like a couple Marvel movies, and I was like, oh, like maybe I was gonna watch that. Like, why would you do that? And then I went home and my dad and I like made a plan. We watched every Marvel movie.
Damn.
In like the order they came out.
Damn.
Because we were like looking it up, like, do we watch them in like the chronological timeline order or the order that like, they were released? And so we did the release order.
Good.
And for a time I was very into Marvel.
Oh yeah.
I'll say it.
No, me too.
I was.
Me
and
too.
This
no shame in it.
No. You're right. It was a fun time. I was like getting into it and it was like, oh my god, there's so much like knowledge to gain and like things to know. And
when Marvel was
fun.
Good, it was fun to be into it.
Yes.
And this I feel like this kind of flew not under the radar when it first came out.
Because it is like Sony, right? So it's not technical. It's like, we're not getting into like that. Pre-merger. That's like Spider-Man in general. There's like weird legal stuff with Spider-Man. But I totally agree. Like if this is what a superhero movie can be, then like let's keep making them like this, right?
I feel like it's really like emblematic about how well it functions. Like even the sequel, like it's kind of like, you know, Marvel's kind of in its flop era right now.
Very much so.
But like... Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse? Absolutely not. Like,
still
that
so good.
Killed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that was insane.
Yeah. I think I saw it twice.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I
in
think
theaters.
I think I did as well, yeah.
Really good.
It was, like, even just, like, it's such, like, a visual, like, spectacle.
Oh, my God.
So much fun. Like, this is, like, I cannot think of a single animated movie that has captured, like, the essence of a comic book better.
That I literally have that in my notes. I was like, it's... it's so beautiful. Yeah. I just need to like this movie is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about color and texture. Like if you want to see color and texture in an animated film, this movie is the perfect example. It's stunning, and I like it because it's like, yes, this is a comic book movie.
Yeah.
And it has like, you know, sometimes they put like the oh my god, like a texture of like, you know, like certain scenes have like a comic booky kind of texture. But it's also like, it's not like doing too much with that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we're just putting this because like, it's a comic book movie. It's like, no, like it's
like
just so
intentionality
well done.
Behind it. You can tell like, again, I think it all comes back to like people having the passion for it.
Yes.
Like,
I read that this film required the largest team of animators like used by Sony Animation on a feature film like ever.
Yeah, I believe it.
Which makes a ton of sense. And I know that like with the I don't think it was talked so much about with the sequel, but now there's another one coming out. So the first one's Into the Spider-Verse, the second one is Across the Spider, right?
Yes.
Across the Spider-Verse, and the third one is
called
oh my gosh, hold on, let me look it up.
Well, because it's going to be, part of a trilogy. And then I think the third one was supposed to come out pretty soon after the second, but they pushed it back.
Yes, and this is what I was getting to, was that Beyond the Spider-Verse,
There we go.
How did we not think of that? because, yeah, they were, Sony was, you know, really trying to, like, get this movie out. And they were rushing it, and they were putting a lot onto their animators, and there was a lot of pushback, which rightfully so, because if you want a good, like, result, it's going to take time, and you need to, you know, not overwork your employees. Yeah.
Exactly.
And if, you know, the first movie did so well, and it looks so beautiful, and everyone agrees, like, and this was your team, and you want something even better than, like, does it really make sense to try and cut back or put more work onto the same amount of people? No.
Yeah.
So I hope that when it comes out, it has the integrity of the first two.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's like, it's really impressive. Like this movie had a $90 million budget.
Yeah.
And it grossed $394 million.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, this, I didn't see this in theaters when it first came out, but I wish I did.
I didn't either.
Because I think this was just one of those ones where I was still kind of stuck in that, like, oh, you know, animated movies are for kids kind of mindset. Mm. And I feel like this, like, really kind of helped me, like, snap out of that fully and just be like, God.
Gorgeous.
Like, that is just such, like, a limited way of thinking.
Also, the story is just, like, so much fun.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's, like, the whole movie feels like a celebration.
Yeah.
You know? And also because it has, like, it really shows, like, Spider-Man is, like, a fun and versatile superhero because there's so many different iterations of Spider-Man.
Yes.
And this film embraces that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And it's just, like, it's a great time.
Yes. I remember I was so excited when the spider, like, people lineup got announced for this movie because I was a huge fan of Spider-Gwen growing up. Like, I loved Spider-Gwen. So getting to finally see her on screen, I was like, oh, this is so awesome.
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's just, like, that was, like, for me, what really epitomized, like, oh, the power of a comic book movie. It's, like, I get to see this character that I've loved reading about, like, come to life in a way that feels authentic and meaningful on screen. Yeah. And I feel like this movie is really focused on telling a story in a really authentic way. Like, it feels like a Spider-Man story, you know? It doesn't feel like just a general, like, superhero story.
And it's also nice because I think a lot of the, like, fatigue that has, like, come in the last few years with Marvel movies and the MCU is because there's this constant need for them to connect to the next thing or to the last thing or to something that's not going to come out for another 5 years.
Yeah.
But these movies, it's just like, no, this is about Spider-Man and spider people and all of them. And we're going to focus on that. Like, we don't need to have. And, like, you know, there's, like the some of the, like, Sinister Six villains and stuff. But it's not like, oh, we need to have a cameo from this character who would make no sense to be in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it's like, we need to set up the next 15 sequels right now.
Like, it doesn't try to do that, and it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
And it's better for it.
Literally. Like, this movie, it stands on its own. Like, as much as it is a multiverse film, it doesn't feel like it's trying to force this idea of, like, a multiverse on you. Like, I know that's kind of what Marvel's doing right now. It's just not working.
And also, it's, like, not complicated.
Yeah.
The way that they do it, it's just like, oh.
You're just like, oh, okay.
And that's what I think this movie just being as fun as it is why it works. Because it's like, we're not trying to, like, explain a whole, I don't even know, like, obviously everything's made up, but, like, it's not, like, getting into the nitty gritty, like, scientific details of how the multiverse works. Like,
they just have a multiverse and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's fun.
And obviously this film won best animated feature at the 91st Oscars. I don't even know what year the year it came out, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that was very deserved.
Yeah.
Just, like, look at it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But the sequel did not, and this connects to what we were just talking about, win. It lost to Boy and the Heron.
Which I am, like, divided about because I love both of them. Mm-hmm. Like, Boy and the Heron and, like, Across the Spider-Verse. They're both such incredible works of art. Like, in not entirely different ways, but just they really show, like, the passion behind animation, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that, like, Miyazaki, I think, is finally getting his flowers, like, after so long of just being, like, absolutely, like, sideswiped by the Oscars.
Yeah.
So I do hope that whenever Beyond the Spider-Verse comes out, it gets what it deserves as, what I imagine will be a great film, hopefully.
I hope so. I really like all the characters.
Yes.
There's just so many characters to love. Oh. And, like,
such a good cast as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the vocal cast was insane for that. Yeah.
And I don't know if they're, like, bringing any kind of new notable people or that we've heard of for the third one, but that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Because they seem like they're constantly expanding, which getting is bigger. Nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But getting bigger in a way that it's not, like, just stop.
Yeah.
It's big but contained.
Yeah. They're not getting bigger for the sake of being big. Like, it makes sense. They're building, like, a trilogy, you know?
Yeah. And I do hope that, like, it has a nice conclusion.
Yes.
Although it will be, like, kind of sad, like, to know that these movies won't be coming out
anymore. I know. It's like, I'll be sad to see them go, but I'll be glad that they end it well, hopefully.
Yeah. And I know that, like, there's, you can buy, like, art books
yeah,
of the film, which I think one of my friends, who's an incredibly talented artist, he has one of the art books.
Oh, wow.
Or both, for both movies. I'm not sure, but he's shown me it, and it's like, oh, God, yeah. You can literally like look at any frame from this movie, and it's like,
yeah,
whoa.
And paired with, like, not even, like, soundtrack aside, which obviously, yes, like, Sunflower dominated the airwaves.
Oh, my gosh. No, but I was just thinking about that song. It is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it is such a good song. Like,
unironically a banger.
Yes. My roommates and I were singing it. We were like, needless to say, so good.
No, literally, like, crazy soundtrack, mm-hmm, crazy score as well.
Yes. Which yeah, Daniel Pemberton, mm-hmm, did the score for the first and second, and I'm assuming the third as well.
Yeah.
It was really cool. He wanted to have the score have an orchestral feel, but, mm-hmm, also be relevant to what teens like Miles Morales might be listening to, and have sort of like a fresh sound on it with not just like violins and like horns and other wind instruments.
Yeah.
So he added like record scratches, which you can hear. So cool. I think it's like at the halfway mark of the song that we're going to play, which is called Spider Team Mission.
Yeah.
So keep an ear open for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did some really interesting things, and this is a great example of that. So that Spider is. Team Mission by Daniel Pemberton from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Let's get it rolling. All right, and that was a taste of the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse score, which, mm-hmm, if you haven't heard it, goes just as crazy as the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our animated movies episode, guys.
Woo! We hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, hope it's got you through the January slump heading into February. Yeah.
Into the February slump.
Into the February slump. What can we say? It's going to be, you're going to be rolling from slump to slump, but, mm-hmm, at least we get a little animated movie break.
But I will say,
yeah,
I'm excited for next week's episode.
Yes. Very fun little teaser.
Very fun.
A special
teaser.
Episode. You want to, mm-hmm, give us a little more?
Sure. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But it might be my dad's birthday.
Ooh.
So get your dads to listen to,
exactly,
to next week's episode.
Next week's a certified dad episode.
Uh-huh.
So bring your fathers, bring your father figures.
Yep.
Anyone else in your life you think has dad energy?
That's all. That's what next week is about. It's dad energy for February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that'll be next week. Again, same time, same place, real world, 4 to 5 on CITR 101.9 FM. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you for listening. If it's not, we love you very dearly. Keep on keeping on, and we will see you next week. All right.
See you guys.
See ya.